As the U.S. battles the coronavirus, Latin America is facing its own fight.
In some of these countries, actually, you have people who believe that there's actually some kind of government conspiracy.
We'll look at the challenges through the eyes of a Wall Street Journal bureau chief on the ground. Plus a big shift involving some of the biggest names in global business, SoftBank's Masayoshi Son and Alibaba's Jack Ma. And potential new tariffs could push up the price of chocolate and coffee. It's Thursday, June the 25th. I'm Mark Stewart with the Wall Street Journal, and this is What's News. We begin in Tokyo with a story involving two of the most powerful entrepreneurs in the world. Masayoshi Son, CEO of the Japanese technology conglomerate SoftBank, announced today he's stepping down from the board of Chinese e-commerce giant Alibaba. His departure comes after it was revealed last month Alibaba's co-founder Jack Ma was leaving SoftBank's board. SoftBank has come under pressure for investments in troubled startups such as WeWork and Uber. So how does this impact global tech? We asked our senior Asia reporter Fred Dvorak to put this into context.
Alibaba is incredibly important to SoftBank right now. So anything that affects their relationship is bound to be the subject of great interest. The value of SoftBank's roughly 25% holding in Alibaba is worth about $150 billion now. That's half the value of all of SoftBank's asset holdings. And it's that value that supports much of SoftBank's activities, like its credit rating, its fundraising, and its share price.
Wirecard has filed for insolvency proceedings a week after auditors found a $2 billion hole in its balance sheet. Shares of the German payment processing company plunged almost 90% in the days after that disclosure, wiping out nearly $12 billion in market value. The company's CEO was recently arrested. Vice President Joe Biden will accept his party's nomination at the Democratic National Convention in Milwaukee. Yet delegates are being urged not to attend when the party gathers in August because of the pandemic. As we reported earlier this month, the Republican Party is moving its major convention events to Jacksonville, Florida, after a battle with leaders in North Carolina over social distancing precautions. As the number of new coronavirus cases rises in many states, many companies once hopeful about reopening are now thinking twice. Apple announced it will now reclose some locations. Disney was supposed to open its Disneyland park in California on July 17th. That is now postponed after workers expressed safety concerns. Coffee, chocolate, vodka, and olives could cost more. They are among the items that could be targeted by the Trump administration, which is considering expanding and raising tariffs on some imports from the EU and the UK. Paperwork was filed earlier this week. It stems from a dispute surrounding subsidies to the aircraft maker Airbus. A EU spokesperson said the U.S. move inflicts unnecessary economic damage on both sides of the Atlantic. Coming up, after big losses on Wall Street yesterday, what will drive traders today? Our markets reporter will tell us about the key data that could have an impact. U.S. futures wobbled. Most of the markets closed down in Asia, and European markets erased early losses. While fears of new coronavirus cases led to steep losses in the U.S. yesterday, today we look at what impact some new economic data could have on trading. Here's our markets reporter, Caitlin Ostroff.
So today, investors are going to be focused on the new initial jobless claims to try and assess where the labor market is right now, because depending on how many more people are losing jobs, how strong employment is in the States, that's going to influence consumer spending, which has been a huge driver of the U.S. economy. They're also paying attention to continued rising coronavirus infections in some states to see whether that will trigger store closures or local lockdowns. And so where the market goes is very much dependent on which of those catalysts winds up playing out more for investors, which one they wind up seeing more optimism or more risk in.
Coming up, as the U.S. struggles to control the coronavirus, Latin America faces its own challenges. As we watch a spike in COVID-19 cases in the United States, there's ongoing desperation in Latin America. Some perspective, the region accounts for nearly half of the world's cases in the past 2 weeks. Juan Ferrero is our South America bureau chief. He joins us from Bogota, Colombia. Juan, it's good to have you here.
Good to be here.
Juan, as we have been reporting in our global coverage, every area is unique, especially when it comes to transmission. What are the areas of concern in Latin America, and how is the virus spreading?
Well, there are two countries that really stand out, which are Brazil and Mexico. Brazil now has the second highest number of deaths in the world after the United States, and also the second highest number of cases, more than a million cases. And then the other country is Mexico, which is also where the numbers are also rising really fast in terms of deaths and also infections. So the things that really stand out about these two countries are their governments. Both are populist governments led by leaders who have downplayed the danger of the virus and have questioned scientific evidence and scientific recommendations and have really pushed for their economies to remain open. And so we've seen confusion among the populace in both of these countries, where these leaders have called on the economies to remain open or to reopen in the case of Brazil. And of course, I mean, that has been, terribly confusing for a lot of people who are unclear exactly, well, what is the danger here? I mean, if our president is telling us that we can go out into the street and work, well, why can't we, In Brazil, there's been really sort of this battle between Jair Bolsonaro, who's the president, and various governors and mayors. You know, these governors and mayors, a number of them are very prominent and are leading some important cities and states, have really pushed for not exactly a lockdown, but social isolation measures and calling for businesses to close, non-essential businesses. This has happened in a lot of places in Brazil, but there's been a push and pull with the federal government, which has called for things to reopen. And now, in effect, in Brazil, there are a lot fewer people who are abiding by social isolation measures. And of course, the virus is spreading very, very quickly in that country.
As far as the numbers are concerned and the impact, do you feel it's an accurate representation as to what's really happening?
Oh, no, not at all. In Brazil, researchers are saying that instead of the 1.1 million people who are infected, which is the official count based on the tests that have been performed, there are actually as many as 7 million or more people. It really depends on the university or who the researcher is. No one knows, of course, for sure, but they talk about much larger numbers. Mexico, on the other hand, is a country that has very low testing, very, very low testing levels in that country. And the government, has made testing a very low priority. And a lot of people in these countries, who die of COVID and have never been tested, may have never been in a hospital, never seen by a doctor. We see that in their death certificates, it says, oh, they died of, respiratory failure, respiratory problems. Very good chance that what they actually died of was COVID-19.
Are there any measures that seem to be working as far as curbing transmission? Are there some notes of success?
Yeah, most definitely. I think that if you look across this whole vast region, we're talking about well over 30 countries, and more than 600 million people across a very, very large area. There are pockets of success. In Colombia, which is a pretty big country, 50 million people, and has a pretty low level of deaths and infections, I think the brightest spot here is the city of Medellin. We're talking about a city with 2.5, 3 million people. They have actually put out this application. And so they have called on people to register their information and so forth and provide information about, what their needs are, if they need food, if they need help, if they need a doctor, what their health concerns are and so forth. And so the government can quickly react, and health authorities can that way also track if there are clusters of COVID-19 in certain areas of the city and help isolate and so forth.
As someone who lives in South America and as someone who reports in South America, what are the questions you have? What are the unknowns that you want answered?
Well, I think the big unknown I want answered is exactly how widespread is this and how many people have actually died from this disease. There's deficient health care because people are afraid to go to the doctor. In some of these countries, actually, you have people who believe that there's actually some kind of government conspiracy against them and that COVID is just something that's made up by the government. And also because the testing levels are low, lower than in the United States, lower than in Europe, then we don't have sort of an accurate reading. And then, of course, here in this region, we also have authoritarian governments, you know, and so there's a lack of clarity. Do we really know what's happening in Venezuela, where there's a very authoritarian and brutal government there? They, in the past, have tried everything they can to hide their healthcare disaster. If you look at their official numbers, things are just wonderful in Venezuela. I don't think anybody believes that, but it's very hard to report and find out the truth in countries like that.
Juan Ferrero, our South America Bureau Chief. Juan, thanks for joining us.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
And that's what's news for this morning. If you like our show, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. We're back with another updated episode this evening. I'm Mark Stewart with The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.